Are we ready to rock this thing out? Oh, rock it out!
Hi, I'm Rusty Manuel, Director of Occupants, and you're listening to Comic Pop Library.
None of us really know each other.
We're all screw-ups.
But somehow, we were all in the same place at the same time when Billy found those coins.
Guys, check out how we glow.
I'm blue.
No, I'm black.
What?
I am.
No, you're not. No.
Do you feel weird?
We're strong.
Insanely strong.
The answer to what is happening to you is here. You five are the Power Rangers.
Did I just hear you say we're Power Rangers?
Is this some kind of joke? We're talking to a wall.
I was kind of expecting a little more.
So where were you last night?
Me and four kids found a spaceship buried underground. I'm pretty sure I'm a superhero.
Cool. Pee in that cup.
Power Rangers were a legion of warriors. You must become those warriors.
It's just a hologram, like a video game.
That's a strong-ass hologram.
Not a video game.
You were born for this.
I will destroy everything.
She is pure evil.
How do you expect us to stop her?
It's morphin' time.
Do it better than anybody you ever seen do it.
A lot of gold.
This is your destiny.
Let's go! Go!
This is your time.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Comic Popcorn Movies. Brought to you by Comic Pop Library. I'm Richard, along with
Jonathan
and Logan.
And in today's episode, we are going to be looking at Power Rangers.
Woohoo!
Jonathan gets to take it away.
And actually, this is the first time that we've actually done, or we are doing a movie that is still in the theaters. I don't think we've had.
We've done a few.
A few.
Yeah. Not very many.
Well, not very many, but this is one of the few that we've actually gone to the theater and watched. That's a good one. Everybody knows what Power Rangers is about, but this one is a different spin. From some of the previews, you see how they start, like Jason, who was played by DeCray Montgomery. Sorry if I completely butchered your name. But they showed him in his pickup truck, you know, stealing the other team's mascot. And then Naomi Scott, she played Kimberly. They showed her in the bathroom with two cheerleaders. We'll get into that a little bit later, because that is kind of a basic focal point of the whole film. And then there's RJ Seiler. He plays Billy, which there's an interesting spin on this Billy. There's Ludi Lin. He plays the Black Ranger. And out of all their backstories, his backstories had kind of hit me, you know,
okay. The
most. It was like close to my heart. Becky G played Trini, which is another interesting backstory and another interesting spin that they've put on this film. Elizabeth Banks played Rita Repulsa, which with her they kind of came up with something creative. But Logan says for him, it makes sense.
Which part was that again?
We'll talk about that here in a minute.
No, I just can't remember ever saying anything about it before. Oh,
that's all right.
Bryan Cranston played Zordon, and Bill Hader played Alpha 5. Now, I will admit, I was not crazy about the new Alpha 5.
The design?
The design. I thought it was ugly.
It worked. You're closing a lot there, lady.
But
it worked.
Put some beeps in.
Hey, yeah. I thought we were whatchamacallit.
Made it off. Because when it actually comes to the trouble of putting beeps in, we kind of just go, meh, let's slide. We don't really care that much.
Anyway, he was still effing ugly, but he was effing cool. So they kind of, for me, they kind of took away that ugliness of what they did to him and added in coolness. So instead of just being effing ugly, he's effing ugly cool.
Okay, okay.
So, works. Okay, so I want to bring up what Logan does not remember. Rito was originally the first Green Ranger. And Logan said that made sense to him. That's how she got the power coin from the TV series. That's how she had the power coin. Because she was the original Green Ranger.
In the series,
I don't know. So I just wanted to kind of refresh Logan's memory on that.
Yeah, I don't remember talking to you about this movie at all.
No, I did a little bit.
It was beforehand, yeah, but not afterwards.
Maybe it was me that said it then. Who knows? But I remember one of us saying that. But because, yeah, the TV series didn't really say how she got
right.
the coin. But having her be the Green Ranger,
yeah,
okay, that kind of makes sense. Okay.
And then, so the way that Naomi Scott, because it starts all in detention.
Breakfast Club.
In the kind of way it was Breakfast Club. Yeah.
Jason has to make sure he's seen as top dog around here.
Right, exactly. Because like I said, they put an interesting spin on Billy and they made him autistic.
Uh-huh.
So because of his disability, people kind of pick on him, and Jason was not going to have that. He was going to make sure that the people in the detention knew that he was, while he was around, he wasn't going to let anybody be picked on.
Yep.
So,
though possibly even though, a quarter of that at least was making sure he was top dog too.
I disagree with that.
Yeah.
Depends on how you interpret it. You interpret it that way, evidently. I kind of just thought he was helping Billy out.
Yeah, that's the way I saw it too.
I kind of saw the helping Billy out part as almost incidental.
Well, I don't know if it would have really mattered if it was Billy or somebody else, but he was just taking the bully down.
Yeah, right. That's what I'm talking about.
He's not really.
But I don't think he was naturally. I don't think he was trying to show he was top dog.
Trying to do what's right.
Yeah.
Don't let the bully rule the roost. That's not right. Because he didn't rule the roost. He didn't.
No, but he made sure nobody screws with me or this other guy that I haven't really talked to ever before. But yeah.
But that's not really making himself top dog.
Yeah. Well, Big enough dog that none of the other dogs go after him.
Well, that's an interpretation. Yeah. That's legit. And I see it differently. That's fine, too. Yep. Continue on.
But so the reason why Kimberly is in detention is because she sent one of her cheerleader buddies or one of the cheerleader girls that was in the bathroom, she sent a picture of her to her then boyfriend. And then when her boyfriend confronted Kimberly about it, she knocked a tooth out of his mouth.
Yep.
I thought it was a picture of one of the cheerleaders naked to everybody, but yeah, the confrontation with the boyfriend did indeed happen. I know that.
Right, but it didn't get to everybody until somebody else sent it. She didn't send it to everybody.
She just sent it to the boyfriend.
She just sent it to the boyfriend. Nobody else. Then somebody got the picture and sent it out, and it went viral.
I thought that was her big...
Her big thing, the big thing that she
saying that she actually was the one that sent it out
to everyone. She just sent it to the boyfriend.
Huh.
And then when he confronted her about it, saying that she was mean for sending him that picture, she knocked his tooth out.
Yeah. Sorry for whatever.
That's how it went. 2-1, you're outvoted. Really, Jason wasn't in there for necessarily the stealing of the mascot. It was because he ran and pretty much decimated so many cars in his own vehicle. And
right, yeah.
It was like,
but, well, he did not
actually didn't even crash until someone backed up into him. He probably caused a few crashes.
Yeah.
He did not crash until someone backed into him.
The whole thing with that is that he did not want to throw his teammates under the bus.
Yep. Honorable death.
he took all the blame, and he never told anybody what happened.
Yep.
So Billy was in detention for a completely funny reason. Yeah. I mean, like, when he told him why he was in detention, everybody was under, you know, was laughing. So he said that he had made his lunchbox into a bomb, and then he goes, "I didn't mean to, though. It just kind of happened.
Just exploded."
Apparently, they literally know if there's an explosion going on. Check Billy. Look to Billy. Right. In that little end scene at the very end, if I remember correctly, in the extra after the credits, he actually specified right after the bomb thing happened. I can't remember what that was for. Wasn't me this time.
Yep. True.
But Trini and Zach actually really aren't in detention. No. They might really not even aren't.
Be going to school.
Yeah, they might be skipping.
Yeah. Well, I mean, apparently Trini is in school because she's a new girl.
For over a year.
But for over a year, but apparently she hasn't been noticed to where she's been put in detention. So Zach, I just don't think he's going just to school. Yeah.
I don't think so.
So but the main focus of this film is they all meet at this like cave area.
Coal mine.
And Billy blows it up, which he does it on purpose.
Yeah.
And they find these coins. Mm-hmm. And they each pick up the coin, and the coin infuses them with power.
I got the power.
So you betcha.
If that song isn't used in one Power Ranger series or another, I will be sadly disappointed.
Let me get over my giggles here.
So where's what is it, Angel Grove?
Yeah.
Where is this at? Is it in California like we think it is, or is it on the East Coast?
No,
it's coal mining.
I have to Google that.
I think it was coal mining. It was some type of
I know it's fictional. I know it's not real.
Okay. Yeah. I know it's a mine, but it's kind of like this kind of felt like maybe somewhere on the East Coast because they were going out with the fishing boats and So I don't know anymore.
Speaking of fishing boats, that's how they first encountered Rita.
Yep.
They fished her out. They actually fished out her mummified remains.
Yeah.
And somehow she comes back to life after they fish out her mummified corpse.
I don't know how.
And
I think it might just be, I can actually breathe now. I can go out of hibernation.
That's possible.
Not sure, but that might be what happened. Or if one of them let a drop of gold near her somehow. Though I don't think that happened.
I don't think so either. Unless it was the officer.
Okay, so it says that Angel Grove is presumably located in California.
Okay.
However, no specific location was ever mentioned.
Gold mine. Gold mine. That's what it was. Gold mine.
That would explain the Goldar.
Yeah. Ooh,
not coal. It was gold. Duh.
But
so California. So we okay, cool. So we got it right with the series. So
anyway, so they fish out this mummified remains. We don't know how she's revived, but when she's revived, she starts looking for gold. And not to mention that focus on her, I liked a little bit more than when she got her green body armor and everything, because to me that that was the perfect embodiment of Rita. I mean, she was ugly. She was terrifying. It was terrific.
Mm-hmm. Like when she started out, but towards the end, they kind of
prettied her up. Yeah.
Yeah.
But even when they did that.
Talk about what happened to the green armor to get all sexy like that. Shouldn't it be a full bodysuit?
I don't
know. Like the others? It's like, okay.
Yeah. But, wow. Somebody was like, oh, this human lady is here. And she goes, human lady? I like the sound of that.
Really?
But, like, for me, the way that they had her before they got her all prettified, I thought that was absolutely fantastic. She was terrifying. She was... For me, that was a perfect Rita. But even after they prettified her, some of the things that she said and some of the things that the way she said them kind of actually chills down my my spine. So even when she was prettified, she was terrifying. For me, anyway.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean, she... Though, that very last bit with her getting sent off. Team Rocket's blasting off again! That's pretty much exactly one through, my mind.
Right. And your dad and I were actually... Now that I remember it, Logan wasn't there when we were talking about me and you in the car.
I might have...
You mentioned it
to me. You might have also talked a bit about it in the house, but I was just reading on the sidelines.
So. No, well, this was
a lot darker than the TV series.
For sure. For sure
they actually went through with the attitude part of the teenagers.
Yeah, it was like, because I always saw the Power Rangers as goody two-shoes.
And these,
goody two-shoes.
In a way, Jason kind of was a goody two-shoes. He was defending Billy from bullies. But Kim, I mean, they kind of vilified her.
But she was a cheerleader, so she kind of could see her
in a way. She was a cheerleader, but they kind of
brought him down.
Yeah, they kind of vilified her by...
Well, him, for sure. Jason's like...
Well, I don't know if they really vilified him, because...
All those... Running because from the police and having still, all those accidents.
I know, but the thing is he still was there for somebody who was being bullied. He never once threw his other teammates under the bus. So, to me, that's kind of...
Is that courageous or not?
Yeah.
That's a debate.
Yeah.
And as stated, I mean, kind of saw
you're
the...
You're going to do it, take responsibility for it.
I'm not really saying...
yourself too big to be attacked.
I'm not saying really courageous, but I'm saying that, I mean, they kind of vilified him, but in a way they didn't.
Well, out of the three, those two were kind of the more goody-two-shoes to begin with. Because one was in the cheerleader sect, one was in the football sect. Yeah. And the others were kind of off on their own.
Right.
Billy, Zach, and Trini were off on their own.
Yeah.
And were so...
But then again, Billy kind of was a goody two-shoes as well.
Trini was probably the only one with actual fighting training beforehand, if that, or at least some sort of training.
I don't know.
Might not have necessarily been fighting, but she was pretty much the only one with actual training in that.
But speaking of Trini, earlier I mentioned that they did something interesting with her. And that was okay, so they did something interesting with Billy, which he was autistic. Mm-hmm. And then on Trini, they made her lesbian.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was making a big deal about it. Oh, the first ever superhero lesbian is going to be on the big screen. And I'm just like, oh, God, I really hope they don't do this to where it's kind of...
It wasn't actually that much of a thing.
For the superhero comic book reader community, it's no big deal.
Yeah.
Because all throughout your comic books, you have... homosexuals, you have lesbians. I don't know if they have transgender yet. I don't know.
For me, you know, so growing up with it, it was really different for me, because growing up with it, it was something that I wasn't used to.
Right, for the Power Rangers itself. But
yeah.
For me, being a comic book reader, it wasn't that big of a deal, because I've already read characters like that in the superhero universe. Right.
Yeah, and it wasn't portrayed as that big of a deal.
No, it wasn't. That's what I was...
The Black Power Ranger from flirting even more with her.
But that's what I was getting to. I was getting to that point. You know, at first I thought they were kind of going to come come and do it kind of with vulgarity. But the way that they did it, I was like, it's classy. It's not as bad as I thought it was going to be. It's classy.
Not sure what you mean by classy, but I'm actually not sure if they even... I'm not sure if she even confirmed that.
She did.
Well, she said that she wasn't normal enough for her parents, but the only thing that was referencing lesbianism was when the Black Ranger was asking, so am I not your type of boyfriend or something? Or girlfriend?
And that was
when she said that, though.
And that was kind of the revelation.
She said, I can't really talk to my parents about this.
Yeah, because but she never actually confirmed
it. Yes, she did. So. When she said that, I can't really talk to my parents about this, is when she confirmed it.
Yeah, because it was after he said, was it girlfriend, then she went in about her parents not understanding.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a confirmation at that point, yeah.
And like I said, for me, that was, and
for kids nowadays, it's really not that big.
It's not that big of a deal, but
they treated it like kids would today, like teenagers.
That's what I was saying. That's why I said it was done a little bit more classy than with vulgarity.
Yep.
But you know, a lot of nowadays, it's not the kids who have problems with it. It's more of the parents who have problems with it, because the kids, they'll be like, "Oh, I don't care. I want to go see the movie just to go see the movie."
Yeah,
true.
And the parents are, I mean, it's just like the whole Beauty and the Beast thing. Oh, I don't care, Mom. I want to go see it just because it's Beauty and the Beast, you know? So
another thing that happened with Trini that I'm somewhat sad didn't follow up on. This trailer that was on the opening, you heard her actually tell her parents that she was, "I might be a superhero." But in the end event with her family, when the brothers were basically going, I'll be this Power Ranger, I'm kind of sad they didn't have them going, "So which one were you?" Because that would have been just funny.
Yeah.
So, it would have been funny, but yeah, they were there. Yeah.
What Logan was talking about was Trini was with sitting in at the kitchen table with
her family.
With her family. And her mom was asking her questions, and Trini is kind of spaced out, and she goes, "Trini?" And Trini's like, "So, five other kids and I found this cave in this spaceship. I'm pretty sure I'm a superhero." And her mom grabs this cup, and she goes, "Pee in this cup!"
Yep.
And,
Did you recognize who her mom was? I don't know her actual name, but...
Yeah, I believe it was Amy Jo Johnson.
Which I don't know her actual name. I just know where I've seen her on.
She's the original Pink Ranger.
No. That was just a extra.
She was the deputy from Eureka. She's a deputy from Eureka. Because I recognized her voice. And when I saw her, I was like, "Oh my gosh." Because I loved her as the deputy in Eureka.
Oh, the mean one?
Yeah, the female deputy on Eureka. Yeah. Because I always liked her in that one. And then when I heard the voice, because she has a distinctive voice and a distinctive look, I was like, "Oh, wow, it's her. Cool." Because I loved her character.
Unheli J.
That was kind of cool to make that connection. But yeah, this was a little bit darker, a little bit where they were, you know, like I said, not any goody tissues. And but some of the cool... Yes.
The backstory of the Zords, they take the form of whatever strongest creature is around in the form in the time that they're used.
I have no clue.
That was why they were in the shape of dinosaurs and everything, according to Zordon.
Oh, okay.
But and now they're a big human shaped thing, so they just took the form of the apex creatures now, because we apparently run most of the Earth, at least. Okay. Maybe not the seas, but most of it. So that's why the Megazord looks like a human.
But,
I thought it looked like a Transformer myself, but...
Transformers look like humans, too.
And to top it off, is the whole movie was based on Rita finding this Zeo crystal.
Yep.
So my question is the way that they ended it with, you know, the whole, I don't want to get into that scene because I don't want to talk about it all that much, but the way that they ended it, is that the way that they're going to start their second movie, or are they going to actually start the second movie with Zeo?
Don't know.
Because, I mean, the whole time they were looking for the Zeo crystal.
No, true. And they found it.
So,
it was unearthed.
In a Krispy Kreme.
Yeah. But and it was one, and this is one I have to make a correction while I'm thinking about it. I'm going to forget again.
Yeah, go for it.
We did a BS session or the TV series of Power Rangers, and I kept saying Bandai, but Bandai is the toy company that did the Power Rangers toys. It is actually Saban who owns the Power Rangers franchise. So just a quick correction of an error done in that podcast, and so everybody will be hearing that before you hear this one. But it is Saban's Power Rangers, not Bandai. Bandai just does the toys. But the special effects were good. I like the
Rita did with the gold.
The gold was good.
Oh my god, that was so creepy.
The aspect where the ship, it was a ship rather than a castle-type fortress, and it was underground, protected by a force field, basically, instead of out and open, I liked better.
Yeah.
That made more sense, and I love the
little gateway in the water.
Yeah, because of the defense shield or whatever they have around it, the barrier. It stops the water right there, so it's going through upside down and then falling. That was kind of cool. That was kind of cool. I have to admit that. But I enjoyed that part of it. Zordon was kind of a dick. I have to admit that.
Well, yeah, I mean, he was a dick throughout the whole movie until the end of the movie. He was like, only one can survive.
Yeah.
And I'm not getting into that one either.
Yeah. That would be all that said of that scene.
True. And to me, it was surprising that they didn't spend as much time in their armor as I thought they would.
Yeah, and they
it was basically all saved to the end.
I actually liked that aspect of it, because in the TV show, it was just right away, it's morphin time, boom.
Oh, yeah.
And then, like, in this movie, you actually got to see him train. And,
for a week.
Yeah.
And build
really?
Up.
Really a week?
I know, but still, they trained and they build up. And I like that aspect, because you didn't get to see that in the TV show. And
well,
this one,
actually, kind of, because they were all martial artists.
I know, but what I'm saying is they
you
trained.
You got to see that a few bits, too.
True.
They trained to build up to morph. In the TV show, they didn't do that.
Yeah.
This is just Timmy just now talking about the lake scene, or underwater lake. Or pond, whatever you want to call it. When they're glowing, first thing I was like, okay, they're all peeing in the water. Look, it's blue around me. It's red. It's like, dude, really? This looks like the chemicals they put in pools.
Remember the grown-up scene.
But yeah, that one was kind of like, okay. But one of the things I wanted to mention, and that was Zach. The person that got to play him really emulated one of the replacement rangers from the series. And he was the frog.
Uh-huh. Adam.
Adam. That's it. Okay, thank you. He really looked like Adam. And if they could have switched out and said, instead of Zach, Adam, and I could have went with it, because he kind of resembled Adam really well. And I was like, okay, that's cool. And then he was the Black Ranger to boot. So I was like, that really resembles Adam.
Right.
So that I kind of was like, man, I know they're staying true to the original core five, but it's like, wow, they could have had something right there.
That was played by Johnny Bolsch, I believe.
Okay. But and the actors did. I enjoyed the actors that played it. They were. The times we found
the faceplates up were a bit odd.
Yeah, the faceplates being up was odd.
They didn't trust your color coordination.
And the Zords, they learned how to drive those off fast, but that's fine. They were hooked up to the brainstem, so I could
Zach
say, okay.
At least had a...
I could see that, possibly.
Yeah. They did
and
have
I'm wondering
trouble
if...
not wearing the suits, as Zach showed. He had very much trouble controlling that thing.
True.
But... You know, I'm wondering, now that you're talking about that, and I saw that as well, I'm wondering if that's why the visors went up. Because when Jason got out of his sword to go save his dad, it went back down.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if the whole thing hooking up to the cerebral, or to what you were saying,
I don't know.
Had something to do with that. But
I think they just wanted to see the faces.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, that they could not.
If you think about that, if they're in the Megazord mode and the canopies were clear, how are they protecting their identities?
And how did they get the pictures to make those little, what are those called again? Like that?
Fat heads?
Yeah. How did they get the pictures to make those fat heads for the kids' wall in the very end?
Oh, they just drew them on there, I think. I think that was a kid's drawing.
No, I think they were actually straight-up fat heads. Maybe not the brand name, but...
Well, maybe fat heads did something for them.
I think.
Specifically for the
movie. It didn't look
movie.
Like a sticker to me. It looked like a drawing.
I thought they were... Huh, whatever.
Remember the two brothers?
Yeah, I know.
It looked like more of drawings.
Yeah. But like I said, there are some companies.
I don't know.
I mean, there are some companies that do favors for specific movies. So I'm thinking maybe that's what Fatheads did. They were doing a favor for that movie. And
It wasn't.
I'd have to go back and look. I thought it was a drawing more than. I thought it was them drawing on the wall who their favorites were. But I don't know. I'd have to rewatch it and see. I've only seen it once. Yeah, that was one thing with the faceplates, because it was like, okay, you have clear canopies. Somebody had binoculars or were taking pictures with cameras.
Right.
Which your identity's blowing. We found out how Rita got to the moon.
Team Rocket's blasting off again.
In essence, I wonder if that's what they're going to do. Is she going to be on the moon for the next one?
And then my next question is would they actually bring in Lord Sed into the next one?
I don't know.
And if they did that,
Spinster, Babu,
Finster.
Or, I thought it was...
It's Finster.
Finster, Babu, or the other guy. Squat. And Goldar was kind of a bit more golem-like, maybe.
What are we talking about? These weren't in the movie.
Goldar was...
I'm talking about all these other characters you're talking
about. Yeah, I said they weren't there, yeah.
Oh, possibly bringing them in. Okay, I see what you're saying. I got mixed up. I was like, I don't remember seeing these characters for Goldar. Okay, now I got you. My brain's on track with yours now, dude. That was just me misunderstanding there for a moment. But yeah, they could bring them in a little bit more. The one concept I kind of thought was different, and it could explain some of the TV series, I guess, in a way. But they kind of put this to the Green Lantern mythology, kind of, where Green Lanterns had sectors that they protected. Yeah. If you remember, Zordon said this was just the group of Power Rangers that protected Earth. There were other Power Rangers out there.
Yeah, and there's so like, Zeo crystals for every life grouping. Yeah, there's Zeo crystals for every life grouping, basically. If a planet has life, it has a Zeo crystal.
Right. And they were after Earth. And that kind of leads back into the alien rangers that we discussed during our BS session with the TV series. That explains how we have those Power Rangers that are aliens. Right. So it's like, will they bring in some of the
things?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be cool.
So that would be something different.
Meet up with Aquitar.
Yeah, it's possible. So that's... They got some cool elements that they can play with.
And I mean, just the way that they started it. I mean, like, if you remember, Zordon was original Red Ranger.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And they were adults, not teenagers.
No.
So they don't have to be teenagers per se. It's just teenagers were the ones that found it.
And Zordon was unfamiliar with the concept of teenagers entirely, too. So.
Yeah, that was kind of weird to a degree.
Given that that's fairly recent, not really. Teenagers is a new concept, as in a few centuries old at most.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
If you say so. I would think they would have young people on their planets, too.
I understand where they're coming from with that one, because he was asleep for, what, 600 million years? Or something like that? Anyway, if you had just woken up after 600 million years, would you know the concept of teenagers? No. I wouldn't know the concept of anything, because remember, Alpha was like, Zordon, you have to speak English. They don't understand what you're saying. And so he kind of encrypted English into his language bank, and then they understood what he was saying.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I see where they're coming from when he doesn't know the concept of teenagers. Well,
or like I said, it's like surely teenagers, they would have teenagers on their world too, or young people.
Well,
so it's like they would have
until
some.
A number of centuries ago, it just went, okay, you're a kid, now you're an adult. Go for it.
True. That is true.
Yeah.
That is true. But yeah, this as a whole, I had fun with it.
Yeah.
And everybody that was griping about the armor, and it's still to me, it's like it makes sense.
Yeah.
That's what the TV show would have done if they could have.
If they had a budget.
At first, I did have an issue with the armor myself, but then I bought all the action figures for it, and I was looking at it, and I have this to demonstrate what I'm talking about.
Yep.
Happy birthday to me.
Yep. Happy birthday.
And what is this that he is opening?
So
it's the Funko Pop Red Ranger.
And on the back there is, and you know, I
poop
said
shoot. No.
What? No. Yeah. Poop shoe. Of course, everybody has one of those. But
I'm here, by golly, because we need to go to the bathroom sometimes.
It's the design is so intricate and it's so cool. And I was like, when I was looking at the action figures, it was the same way. And I was like, if they had the design on the armor in this movie, it would be so much cooler. And that's the one thing that I looked for on the armor was a design on the back and a design on the front. And I was like, yes, yes, this is what I want. This is cool. Because at first I was the same way. I was like, Iron Man.
Well, to me, I've always said it makes sense.
Yeah.
That's what they wanted.
This is the Power Rangers with actual budget to make costumes like that.
The armor never bothered me like it did some people. Because I was like, okay, this makes sense. Because if they would have been fighting in the uniform that they had in the TV series, they'd be dead 100 times over. At least in armor, you kind of have an idea. It's like, okay, they're protected a little bit more. So I enjoyed the armor aspect where I understand, you know, the nostalgia and everything. And I understand, don't change it.
Though apparently, even without the armor, they can tank a train.
True.
Though that forces them to
they are white out without their armor.
You awake at home, which was kind of weird because that happened.
I think they were teleported. I don't think that they...
Possibly, because they never said what it was.
Yeah.
So just, that's true.
Another aspect...
Randomly just, you wake up at home.
Another aspect of this film that it didn't really bug me, but I didn't really like it, is that they didn't have the morphers. Like, in order to morph into the armor, they had to stand in a certain section. And that's how they morphed.
Not actually, because Billy morphed outside of that.
Yeah, but he doesn't know how he did that. And he didn't have the power morpher to do that.
Well, they just have to concentrate and pull it out. Yeah,
that was just an aid, basically.
Yeah. I would have liked to have seen the morph. Maybe not as clunky of a design as the TV series, but something like that. Cause
yeah. Well, and I mean, they designed a toy morpher for it.
Yeah.
But I was like... You know, them designing this toy morpher is kind of a waste of a time when they didn't have it in the film.
Yeah.
True. Yeah, but there's one thing is like, okay, they said the armor was inside them. I'm like, well, how can the armor be inside them? But then when they were fighting and jumping and everything, so I was kind of like, well, is the armor just invisible and people can't see it until they concentrate enough? Or it's inside them, like the movie said, which is cool, too, because it's a manifestation of not a morpher, but their consciousness calling it forth. And it was basically selflessness. They had to be in tune with each other. Yeah, they had to be in tune with each other. So can they morph per se, by themselves? But Billy did, so evidently they can. They'll explain that if they have another movie to explain it more.
Like he said... Like, they kept on asking, how did you morph? How'd you do it? How'd you do it? I don't know.
By wanting it just them happened. To work together. That is literally how he morphed. Stop fighting, guys. And there you go.
Well,
that was pretty straightforward to me.
Yeah, but it doesn't tell you how he did it, per se. It's like, they have to... How to explain it?
They have to be looking out for each other. That's basically it.
Yeah, but they have to call it forth. Because if they were just looking out for each other, you know, they could be in school and be protecting somebody, and then the armor all of a sudden appears on them.
So what happened with Billy, that actually might be a worry, which would kind of be funny.
So somehow they have to be able to suppress it. Somehow they have to call it forth. But it is the selflessness working as a team. You're right on that. That is true. But how they – I don't know if they actually – truly knew how they were doing it per se at the end of this movie. They were starting to find out.
Yeah.
I think.
Figuring it out.
Because the other thing was the Megazord.
That was brand new to everyone.
Yeah. It was like after what you said, three steps, they knew how to work the Megazord. And I'm like, okay. And then they're like, Goldar creates a golden sword. And I go, we don't have anything like that. And they fight a little bit more. And then all of a sudden he goes, we got swords, guys.
I'm like, I'm pretty sure that was basically, he was going through the list of what's going on in this Megazord on the screen.
Awful,
basically,
calm person to do that.
Here we go.
But
he was the head. That's his job. The other guys control the limbs. He calls the general shots.
True. Well, that's because he's a leader.
Systems.
True.
Yeah.
True. So he could have been doing that.
The other guys are the ones controlling the limbs, so he doesn't have to worry about that.
I understand. But you have to be a pretty cool customer to be scrolling through stuff. What do we got? What do we got? What do we got? Oh, shit. What do we got? What do we got?
That's pretty much what I see him doing.
I still haven't fixed my Megazord because I still have it as Trini in the middle, and I have Jason on one of the legs, and... I had to fix it to where the two boys are on the legs and the two girls are on the arms and Jason is in the middle.
Well, the one thing I'm interested in is how will kids look at the TV series now after this movie?
Hmm. Oh, well, I've seen some memes on Facebook where, you know, there was one meme where it was like, "Dad, these old costumes are gay." And I'm just like,
hey, wow, really?
I'm like, wow.
That's and I'm not willing to go that far. I was like, yeah, you kind of like, oh, this is cheap.
The sparkly armor.
Yeah,
that was definitely that
version.
Glitter armor.
That was just funny.
But that is, in a sense, kind of what I was getting at, because they're going to look at it. This is cheaply done now. I want my Power Rangers with the armor.
Right.
So, is this, you know, what type of effect is that this going to have on the marketing and stuff like that? Because toy lines, I don't think they'll hurt the toy line, but the viewer. Yeah.
I think the spandex is more of, for the kids, they want it to be more of a super hero-y aspect, which is what they're supposed to be. The armor, yeah. I can see it as, you know, older people who have actually grown up with the spandex, and they understand and respect the spandex to where, you know, kids nowadays are just like, armor is so cool.
Yeah, so it's the other way around.
I still see it as this is the intent, and they just don't have the budget in TV to pull it off. Because, yeah. Like they would have went this route, I'm sure, from the very beginning if they could have. Because so much cooler looking, I think, personal feelings there. But this is one that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Pretty much the only thing they probably would have kept, the helmets. The helmets were generally stylized already.
Yeah, but they were still done in a clunky way. Because this one looks, they look sculpted. They're really nice, where the older helmets just look like a motorcycle helmet.
I think they actually improve those as time goes on too, but I'm not quite sure.
Okay,
it's been a long time since I've seen later seasons of Power Rangers. We're rewatching them, but we haven't gotten too far.
No, we haven't gotten there yet. We still need to watch Turbo and then get into the Turbo season.
Well,
but what else do you got for us, Jonathan, before we have to jump
the
out?
One thing that I wanted to say was I had issues with this movie to begin with, which was the whole Rita being too pretty, the whole Alpha 5 thing, the whole armor thing.
I thought the issue was she was using one of the other villainess's costumes or whatever.
That's what it felt like to me. Like, when I first saw her, I was like, and I still say this. I'm not going to lie. I still say this. But the way that they portrayed her was awesome. The armor was just a green version of Divatox from Turbo.
Okay.
It was just a version of her costume. So it was just like, they could have come up with something better. But the way that she portrayed the character, the way that Elizabeth Banks played her, actually gave me chills in it. I mean, it was just, I was like, wow. You know, so, all the issues that I had, even though she looks like Divatox, all the issues that I've had are just flushed down the toilet.
Kind of like Alpha's.
No, he's so effing ugly. He's cool, but he's effing ugly.
All right, are we going to go into the tweet tweets part of the show? We got a couple of tweets. Tweet. Hear from a couple of different people again from musicians, since they tend to use this quite a bit. We have one from Michael Colton. We reviewed one of his songs called Baby Blue, and he just wanted to say thanks for sharing my music. So definitely we will do that whenever we can. And then the other one's from The Deadbeats. We spotlighted one of their singles called Planets in the Sky, and they just want to say thank you for the good mention. We appreciate it. So we appreciate everybody sending it to us. If you'd like to send us a tweet or a Facebook message, you can find us on Twitter or Facebook under Comic Pop Library. You can also send us an email at admin@comicpoplibrary.com, We are also on iTunes. You can find us there under Comic Pop Library. Leave us a review. We'd appreciate it as well. We've been talking about Power Rangers, the movie from 2017. And I think this is one where, when it comes out ready to be purchased, I would say if you're a Power Rangers fan, you'll definitely want this in your collection, unless you're a traditionalist and just really hated it. But if you were able to enjoy it, pick it up. If you're in a library setting, definitely you will want to pick this up. You'll have people that are want to watch this, if nothing else for the nostalgia factor, because they couldn't get to the theaters to watch it. So definitely pick that up so people can watch it. I had fun at the movies watching this. Occasionally we might do some newer movies if we all happen to see the same movie. So it just depends on what all happens. But this is one I enjoyed. Jonathan, even though he had reservations, sounded like
I loved it. And I will be picking this up and watching it over and over and over and over until my disc breaks. And then I'm going to go buy a new disc and watch it over and over and over until that one breaks. And then I'm going to buy another one. So
he liked it, folks.
So he's going to watch it a couple of hundred times.
It was good. I don't know if I'm not a big Power Rangers fan, so I don't know if we'll ever put it in our collection unless we find it fairly reasonably priced, but I'll definitely watch it again when we get it at the library. It was a good one. But that's going to do it for us this go around. We hope everybody out there has been having fun listening to us. We've been having fun here. We will catch everybody on the flip side. Bye, everybody.
Bye. See ya. I could see it all so clear. Please believe me. I really had something to say. But now it's bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any publisher, distributor, or studio, and it is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show hosts are their own and are not reflective in any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.